Hey, everybody, welcome to a special edition Improvement Week podcast here, brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated. I'm Dallas. Got with me Chad,
Howdy.
Kyle, Brendan, and
Boy,
maybe
howdy.
Ben. We'll see if he jumps on here in a minute. Reason again, it's not bye week, it's improvement week, as Stig has always called it. And we look for things to talk about, and in our text thread that we've all referenced multiple times on the different pods, we've been busy kind of talking about a lot of random stuff. And one of the best conversations we've had for a while was off of the FBS realignment. And we realized too that none of us really completely agreed on the same takes either. So thought that'd be a good place to jump in and just give us some stuff to talk about here on the week off. So we'll cover some other topics too, but I do want to start there. So Kyle, I guess, do you want to jump in, maybe give us a little bit of a rundown on just kind of realignment?
Yeah, so for folks who aren't aware, Oklahoma and Texas kind of got the ball rolling, right, with this new realignment in this era, in this 2021 year. So they want to make a jump from the Big 12 that's kind of had some lackluster top to bottom participants in as far as football is concerned, and they wanted to make a jump to the SEC. There's probably a lot of different reasons for that. I think the big one would be prevent an expansion of the FBS college football playoff that we've got currently. And so Oklahoma would be able to join the SEC as well as Texas. And they filed the paperwork for that. Looks like it's going to be a go. And then the Big 12 has subsequently added UCF, Houston, BYU. Believe that's they added one more, Cincinnati as well.
Yep, Cincinnati.
So those are formerly Group of Five squads in from the American Conference. And then, so I think the implications of all that, if we remember when Nebraska jumped ship from the Big 12, it kind of had a cascade effect where some schools like TCU, who was, I think, in the formerly Big East, jumped to the Big 12. And, Boise State jumped from, I believe, the Big East as well to the Mountain West. And so implications are really interesting across the board. And I think we're looking at a couple things, right? We're looking at do the Power Five conferences create their own Division One kind of section of their own, where there's a third split of Division One football? I guess there were two, or the second one would have been, I think, for FBS FCS back in the 80s, I want to say, or late 70s. And then now this would be a third one in which FCS or top tier FCS teams, which is why we found this intriguing, top tier FCS teams, if they could get fully funded, would potentially go into the Group of Five category. And there would be a Group of Five that would essentially play a playoff system with the Power Five playing their own separate playoff system. And then you have everyone else in the FCS playing their own Division One playoff system. So that's kind of where what seems to be taking shape, as far as certain pundits have it, like Andre Ware on the telecast that I watch with Coastal Carolina. So that's kind of my synopsis of the realignment.
That's a good overview. So from there, Brendan, I guess if you want to jump in, I'm just curious on everybody's take. Like, do you think that's actually going to have an impact on the FCS?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely going to have an impact on FCS. I think large fan page sort of kind of like JI sort of deal for JMU has already stated that they've had sources inside JMU say that they're getting added to the Sun Belt. The offer's just not getting extended yet. Sun Belt's being really proactive, and when you get to these bottom G5 conferences, that's where that cascade effect from the top reaches the FCS, and they're going to start snagging teams. I know NDSU fans were all super excited when this started. They were really banking on like a Boise State getting snatched to the Big 12 to open up a spot in the Mountain West, because just geographically ourselves, North Dakota State, teams like that, we're not great fits for like the MAC. Your closest team is Northern Illinois, and you're going all the way to Buffalo, New York. Like that matters, because it's not because of football, but because you've got all your Olympic sports that you're spending to send over there. And yeah, there's more money in FCS or in FBS, and we can get into that later. But Yeah, it's going to affect our east side of the FCS. We're going to lose a couple, at least JMU for sure, top name teams. Waiting to see what the AAC does, the American Athletic Conference, because that's your top tier G5. I mean, that's where all those guys who went to the Big 12, most of them played outside of BYU because they're independent, but they're going to snatch whoever they want. So if they take teams from the Mountain West, then we got a whole new ball game. Are they taking Montana's? Are they taking NDSU? Are they taking other group of five teams from a different conference? So, and let's not forget too, in the FCS, we've already had a bunch of movement with the WAC and the Atlantic Sun forming their little scheduling alliance and starting their own conferences next year because they're adding more teams next year, which still is in the works. Like the WAC's looking to grab another team or two for the upcoming seasons. What's that going to do to the Big Sky? Are they going to grab another Big Sky team? So it's going to be a wild ride for the next couple of months.
Chad, what's your thought? Do you think that there's going to be an immediate impact FCS too?
I mean, I think it's going to take a little while before some of the teams move on, but like Brennan pointed out, I think JMU is the most likely suspect to move up. And that's a geographic thing. It's a money thing. It's a success thing. I think one thing we should look at too is there is the possibility that some of those G5 schools have to move down because something like the Mountain West could collapse. It's possible that we see something like that happen. There are some of them fringe teams that don't have quite the success that maybe would move back. And I think that's the best move for some of them. Personally, you know, we hear a lot about NDSU moving up, right? Because those are the people that are closest to us and the people we know. And they're all for it, and it's rah-rah. But, you know, I guess good wishes and good riddance. I don't know. Not really good riddance. I think they make us better, and I like having them around. So competition breeds success. Look, what have we heard about Georgia Southern lately? You know, I mean, they were studs before, but
who are the most recent teams that have jumped up? You got Georgia Southern, you got
Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, Coastal Carolina.
Yeah,
those are some of the heavy hitters that were, you know, staples at the FCS level that were able to make some. I mean, I think the best performing new FBS team out of that group was Appalachian State, right? Oh, well, I should say Coastal Carolina, who just went undefeated in the regular season.
Yeah.
So very, very recently.
I still don't know if they're trend or mirage. I could go either way on them.
I think they have good funding is what I've heard. And, like, also they're in a football hotbed that they were able to kind of siphon off some of that original fan base. But they were, like, watching that game against this past week against Kansas was really – insightful, just learning about their program. They dominated the Big South. We all know what we think about the Big South. Brendan, Kennesaw State playing D2 schools and just like, you know, really not trying to disparage them. Love Kennesaw State. Like, my family literally works at Kennesaw State still. But they're not MVFC, Big Sky, CAA caliber talent. They're not. And
not yet,
right? And it's just, I think it's a function of the offense more than anything, running the triple option. Yeah. But if you look at JMU, like Brennan said, and hit the nail on the head, theirs is more of a funding thing. They're already going to be able to get fully funded across all those sports. They're on the East Coast. It's a natural add to maybe an American conference to fill a void of Cincinnati or UCF. I think it just fits really well. And then they're looking at dollars, right? Dollars and cents. And they have a huge endowment there. Looking on Twitter, I guess they factor in cost of going to games and stuff like that into tuition for folks. But
dude, the subsidy's insane what they charge their students.
Exactly. It really is. Right. It really is. But I mean, they seem to love it and they seem to want it. So, I mean, you know, that's something they'll have to sort out. But I guess what the big crux of the issue is like, you know, Brennan, you unpacked it really well. If anything happens, like where Mountain West teams get poached to go to different conferences, or the only one I could honestly see doing that as far as football and maybe some other sports is Boise State. And really,
what about one of the Cal schools like UC Davis? I mean, there was some talk there.
I think UC Davis does want to go FBS, but what I mean as far as like the Mountain West, as far as regionality, that would be the most logical place into a group of five for North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it, right, you have to consider, just like Brennan said, all sports. It, getting a football only invite, I just don't see it, because from a financial standpoint, I mean, even with their football fan base traveling, the Fargo-Moorhead area, Brennan, you speak to this because you live there. It's only, yeah, what, 250, and that's very generous, 250,000 people.
Yeah, like 225.
And I know they did game day there multiple times. That's kind of why in our text thread I brought up, and I don't think we're ready as South Dakota State. I don't think we're ready. Right. Athletically, we can compete, but from a funding perspective, from a geography perspective, a package deal, NDSU, SDSU is far more enticing than just one of us.
Right. You know, especially if you're looking at what adding Olympic sports, because they want that travel partner for scheduling purposes, basketball, track, field, whatever, where, because they go, then you're going to do the Dakota loop and go back to your town instead of having to fly to from Colorado to Fargo and then back, and then that's your trip. Like, that's, yep, a huge expenditure for one game. A couple things that I was like going back trying to keep in my head here. Chad's right. There's a bunch of teams that should move back from the G5, but they never will. That's, I mean, look what they're looking at, what happened to Idaho.
Yep.
And they're just not going to do it. Totally not depressed, as the DSUs and Jay Madison should be the first to move up. Chattanooga is an underrated option for a conference like the Sun Belt. You know, should be NDSU. You know, if you're talking about options move up, NDSU's and JMU are probably the most ready.
Definitely
JMU. This is just insane. 77% of their athletic budget is funded by the students. Whereas if you contrast that with like South Dakota State, when we went and moved up, the Board of Regents, who's not particularly South Dakota State friendly, at all.
You say that again?
Beer. Board of Regents is not particularly South Dakota State friendly. It's USD. Probably something to do with a law school and then lawyers becoming politicians or something. Maybe we got Petition McKnight to get on the Board of Regents or something.
Exactly. He's both.
Benhuizen. He's got Tony Benhuizen was on there. At least we had a guy for a while.
Right. No, but in all seriousness, yeah, they subsidize it a huge amount, and South Dakota State and North Dakota State are very proud of about not doing that. Some things would have to change, at least at SDSU for that. NDSU, they're probably ready. I mean, realistically, they've got a whole media network. I know for a fact they've for sure been looking, because their radio station up here, their sports talk station, I listen to sports talk radio, and I'll listen to their stuff because they got Missouri Valley stuff on there and some national guys. Brian McLaughlin was on. You know, part of our FCS Fans Nation network that we're a part of, but they've been slowly pushing and bringing this FBS conference talk into their talk shows, and they've got a guy who's super hardcore pro them going to FBS, and you can't tell me that if they weren't ready or weren't wanting to go, that they would allow him to do that for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And, yes, I mean, we see when you're on Twitter, you see all the discussion about it. Everybody's on board. It feels like their entire fan base has already turned the page and moved on, at least just casually reading through everything.
I mean, they've won 7 national titles, right? I mean, like, I got it. Think of it this way. Just think of it from this perspective. If you're Nick Saban in Alabama and there's an echelon above you and you've won however many he's won at that tier, you're going to move up. You want a new challenge. You want different, just a different energy. You want a new life injected into the program. Right. And I mean, it's not like they are lacking anywhere from that perspective. I just think that they want a new challenge. Like, even in work, we're all professional, young professionals, right? We want a new challenge when things get stale. We don't just want to stay there. I mean, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I want a new challenge. So they would. And then also, you look at James Madison, I think it just makes sense geographically for recruiting purposes. Maybe they could get a leg up even. You know, we benefit here a little bit. I mean, there's FBS schools around us, like the Minnesotas, the Iowas, Iowa States. But think, if we're in that tier, that FBS tier, even if it's group of five, maybe that kid that's a little high on his horse that maybe has that ego or that chip on his shoulder that he should be FBS, maybe he takes the South Dakota offer as opposed to the Iowa States or the Iowas. You know, you never know. So there's implications as far as that goes as well.
Right, let's go back real quick. We talked about the impact of football versus football versus the other sports and kind of the expense there, because it's real easy. Sorry, Chad, what's that?
Oh, just one thing on those lines. We all know that, you know, past performance is no indication of future success. And I would warn NDSU fans that are all aboard the FBS train that their jumps are probably not going to be as successful as the last one.
Yeah.
You
can't argue that. It's possible. But even beyond just like where I was going to go with that was beyond just football success, you've got those other sports. And it's not – that isn't, you know, rattling off, what did they beat? Six straight FBS teams, whatever it was, yeah. Great success, blah, blah, blah. So I get it. I'm not questioning that, but there is more to it. And I guess we had done, when we were chirping, I looked up, and there's like six or seven football-only FBS conference affiliations. I forget who all it is. It's, I think, UConn technically, Hawaii somehow, even though they all compete.
Notre Dame.
Isn't Notre Dame ACC?
Oh, they're ACC for everything except football. Yeah. Now they're football, right?
Yeah, I think they are for football too.
That changed.
So, but anyway, there was a handful. So it's not unheard of. I just want to bring up the fact that again that it's not just success on the field that drives the decision.
Well, and here's the thing with that, like, you know, we brought up the recent ones, Coastal Carolina, App State, Georgia Southern had a year or two of good success when they first moved up. And then there was that. There's ones prior to that fairly recently that people forget about because people forget their FBS. UMass is so bad, they should move down. Like,
they should go D2.
UMass would make Colorado State look like Alabama. Okay. Yep. They're so bad. And they were an FCS team going back like 2007, and they're a damn good one.
Do we know the conditions? UConn. Sorry to interrupt. Do we know the conditions around that? Like, did they have a storied coach move on? Did they, you know, what were some of the things that led to that downturn?
You know, the downturn, I think, you know, really a lot of it is a lot of it's fiscal. Let's be honest. When you get down to brass tacks, success in athletics at any level has to do to an extent about your fiscal input. You know, I looked it up this week or today, right? Our athletic budget is listed at $23 million per the Knights study deal they've got a whole webpage. You can track everybody's athletic department funds and everything like that. You go from there to say the Mountain West, and we have one of the higher ones in FCS. NDSU is at like $26 million for, and this is holistic, but just moving up to FBS, the way our Title IX model works, you're not just adding 22 scholarships to football. You are adding 22 scholarships on the female side as well. Now, you look up the total cost of going to SDSU at Minnesota Reciprocity is just shy of $19,000 per student athlete. That is north of $400,000 in scholarships just for the football team, almost $900,000 when you're touching the women's scholarships as well. Now, people always go, well, you get the fat TV contracts. Well, on AP News, as of, I think this article was like 2 years ago, the Mountain West was nearing its deal at the end of ESPN, pays its members $1 million per season. So that covers your scholarship costs. Your average Mountain West coach makes $1.175 million. That's the head coach. Their average coordinator makes $250,000, which means you're paying $1 million more for your coach because Coach Digg makes around $350,000 and we're getting a screaming deal there. But then our coordinators make what, 80, 90?
90, yeah.
So now you're adding millions into the coach's salary, and that's before you get into the rest of what going to that level entails. Because if you're going to an FBS conference, most of their basketball coaches make $1 million. you know, and up the board, everything goes up. That's why your average Mountain West athletic department budget is north of $50 million.
Look at who did their homework today. Oh my goodness. You so look at you.
It's not just, I mean, the exposure is great. Also, you know, you get the exposure when you go to a bowl game. Back when the BCS championship was happening, the schools that played in the BCS championship game lost money.
Right.
Because they and that's the BCS games, because you are forced to buy X amount of tickets to the bowl game.
All right, back up. I want to just run through a couple of these numbers since you rattled off so many. I've got there's only a handful of people watching live here. So for everybody listening, it looks like, just scrolling through this list that I found, USA Today, James Madison's got far and away the top budget at our level at, what, $52 million?
And they've got a huge endowment overall. I want to say it's one of the biggest in the country at all levels.
That's amazing. Okay, so then,
you know,
go ahead.
The part of what can skew these numbers to a degree, because you got to know that going in, is your cost of going to the school.
Right.
You know, SDSU is a cheap school to go to. Our scholarship cost is going to be low compared to if you go to Vanderbilt.
Right.
Quick recruiting University plug of Wisconsin. Here, Brennan. Quick recruiting plug. If you go to South Dakota State from an out-of-state, if you're an out-of-state prep school, your tuition going out-of-state to South Dakota State is likely going to be less than your home in-state institution. So get to South Dakota.
I mean, that was a true thing.
Yeah, look, we'll have to have Pierre Strong on and ask him.
There you go.
Asterisk here. Yeah, I saw North Dakota is almost at the top, but their hockey budget is top in the country, so that's going to be driving that.
And there's some other things. One caveat I want to put to Brandon's point, too. You got to – and then you also kind of answered the question with that point about cost of institution or going to the institution. If you make that FBS jump – obviously your costs go up really high. So your input, your output in terms of generating revenue needs to match that or exceed it. And the problem is we just don't have the lives to move through the institution. I mean, we'd have to grow at 2 to 5X, I would think, in terms of undergraduate enrollment to warrant, you know, maybe making that jump and keeping everything really stable.
So let me back up on that point, and then I want to – maybe we can start talking SDSU specific, because that's obviously why we're here. You know, we haven't really dove into that. Okay, so I was at school over the transition. We were sitting – they took us out in the single crown field where the parking lot is now, and they sat us all down, and Peggy and Oyen and everybody came out, and they talked through. We said, listen, this is a thing. We are doing this. We're doing it with North Dakota State. Somebody along the lines did say – I don't think it was that meeting, but somebody did say that the initial discussions or intent was both schools had the idea to make the FBS jump together. Now it's been 20 years since that meeting. So that means absolutely nothing, but I do remember that there was actual discussion at that time about that. Right. But they did cite one of the biggest reasons being the enrollment jump. They said they went through these giant studies. And at that time, I think the jump to where we're at now was supposed to be a 20-30% enrollment jump, and I don't think we've seen that.
No, enrollments have come down
in the
past few years,
and the national trend is not moving in that direction. Nope. So it's really smart. I mean, I'm glad we have people far smarter than us, but people who can jack stats just like Brendan did his homework. I mean, obviously there's committees just designated to doing all this work. I love that Justin Sell is our AD during this time period, because that dude knows, and he's seen it from different – I mean, coming from the Ohio State University and then you and I, he knows the regionality. He knows the geography. You know, when we did – Chad, when we did our interview with him, you know, he spoke to certain Mountain West schools who are suiting him. So this is a really good time, you know, for both North Dakota State and us to kind of, you know, just test the waters and put feelers out there, because in terms of – I think I've even put it out there on Twitter, like – the question is not, can North Dakota State and South Dakota State compete in those conferences? That's my opinion. It's not, can they compete? It's, can we get funded and make this viable? Because we don't want to be a damn Idaho. not trying to disparage them. No. We don't want to drop down. And Idaho was fairly competitive, middle of the pack, group of five competitive for some years, winning some potato bowls, you know, and certain things like that. But that's not, I would want to win the group of five conference. And I know you guys would too, at least in football, right, basketball, and down the line.
So forgetting if we think we should, like, why would South Dakota State want to do this?
Oh, I 100% have the reason for that. It's there's actually two reasons you would want to do this, because jumping FBS in general is a football decision, right? Yep. Look, and this is why, this is a large reason.
Explain why real quick, Brendan. I don't mean to interrupt you. Explain why. Other sports are already Division I, right? Most people may not
know. Right. Right. Yeah. All of our other sports, you know, they go compete at the, you know, the tournament, NCAA March Madness, wrestling against the Big Ten. They're playing the Big Ten and Big 12 and SEC and all those teams. You're at the same level. You're funded scholarship wise at the same level. All that stuff. When it comes to your football has our two divisions, FBS and FCS. FBS funds it at 85 scholarships that can't be split up. FCS funds it at 63 scholarships that can be split up. So it's a football decision, because that's the side that gets affected directly. There's obviously a bunch of spinoff effects. You're going generally to a better conference for basketball and Olympic sports. But from a football perspective, and this is what NDSU fans are talking about, that does make sense. I mean, it comes off as a little bit arrogant from them, which it's NDSU fans, so most of the stuff they do say kind of comes off that way sometimes.
They are, so.
Yeah. I mean, and who can blame? I mean, honest to God, as much as
they drive the hardware to prove it, don't they?
Can't blame them. If we won, what, eight? I would be probably insufferable. So I can't.
Oh, God, yes. Me too.
We can, like, all say that.
I mean, yeah, they're obnoxious, but they have a reason to be, so I get it. But if you look, you know, who were the power, and who, I mean, if you're FBS in general, you're taking the powers. Coastal Carolina is unique. They were starting to come on and become a power, and then they got nabbed because they're right in the Sun Belt's backyard, and the Sun Belt saw an opportunity. If anybody wants to see a joke, look up Coastal Carolina's old stadium before, when they got pulled to move up. Everybody was just scratching their heads going, you added them. But App State, Georgia Southern, Coastal Carolina was coming on. UMass used to be a big name. Old Dominion was coming on, even though their whole intention was to move up, and now they're another dumpster fire. You know, all your big, good, successful schools that invest the most in football get grabbed to fulfill these FBS slots in these conferences. And eventually, if JMU's gone, the FCS is better than it's ever been, in my opinion, in this season in a long time. But what happens if a couple Mountain West schools get nabbed by the ACC and they take the Montana schools? Well, now you've got SDSU, NDSU, Sam Houston State, and Eastern Washington. And when it comes down to draws and the programs themselves, Eastern Washington and Sam Houston State on average don't really come close. Sam Houston State did their banner raising to 8,000 fans. And I'm not trying to trash talk them. They've got a great program.
And we played a D2 and had double that.
Yeah. Right. We get shit on for our attendance, which I'm not particularly like thrilled about our attendance all the time. But I mean, we're drawing 15 to 18,000 people for the first half of the season. You know, Eastern Washington generally pulls 9 to 10,000.
You know, and Washington has the Seahawks. Sorry to interrupt. Washington has the Seahawks. The Dakotas do not have a pros team. So it, and same with Montana, it is their pro sport. It is their college sport. That's the show.
Right. And you want those schools in your league. And I think Chad's right that the second reason you want is because they did a poll of the athletic directors in the Power Five conferences onto what we were talking about with the G5 Power Five split. They did a poll of the Power Five conferences, the Knight Commission or somebody did. And it was like an obscenely high percent. It was way, way north of 60% of athletic directors in this survey that were for splitting the Power Five off and being their own show, because especially after how the NCAA handled the coronavirus and basically told the conferences to handle it. Now these athletic departments are kind of like, fine, we'll take care of our own stuff. Yeah. And eventually you want to be positioned better. And if you move up and are positioned to where you have 85 scholarships, it's a lot easier probably to back the funding down than it will be to try to scramble and catch up, because now you're going to be playing, if that split happens, I mean, you're playing some real, real, real competition, you know, your Marshalls, things like that, that'll already have been funded at the level that they are for how long. And you're trying to catch up to that.
We didn't mention Marshall. That was a very successful job.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's been 15 years ish.
But they jumped a while. They've got a big case study, right? And then also, again, so if we're talking pros and cons, we kind of underscored a lot of cons or a lot of things that would make you throw up some red flags and go, wait a minute, you know? Mm-hmm. But Marshall is one of the only shows in town, right? They're in West Virginia, so there's not a pro sports team there. Granted, they are closer to the East Coast, so they can kind of travel, but come on. They want to, you know, they love the pageantry of college football. They want to support their squad, right, in their backyard. I think that, like, when Dallas, you just talked about going out to the Single Crown, getting informed that we are making this jump. We're doing it with our fellow Dakota Territory partner, the Furry Cows. Well, now it's every school's intention to be competitive, whatever jump they're making. And let's call a spade a spade. We couldn't compete for crap at D2. And now we're a perennial power at FCS. So let's just examine the fact that we have pieces in place similar to NDSU, not the same, but I would venture to say that someone on the coaching staff now, when and if Stig does say he wants to call it quits or move on, will be next in line and in good position to see through a transition to that level. Right. Mm-hmm. And then if that is the case, I know Justin Sell is going to be the man for the job, or if he helps pick a successor with Barry Dunn, they're going to put the right person in place to be able to raise that. Cause you have to have athletics in conjunction with academics boost your enrollment. Right. And it's just like, if you can't tell me without basketball success, football wouldn't have done well. Without NDSU success and our success, we both wouldn't have pushed each other, right? Just like Chad said at the intro. So I think there are pros. It's just things need to play out, like Ben was saying. What is the end game? Is it to play for the Meineke Car Care Bowl, or is it to generate revenue that generates enrollment that also is a smart geographic conference joining?
So, all right. So that is a great segue. I want to improvement week here. I want to play make believe and just talk through what could go right and what would have to go right for that to make sense. Although, quick timeout, we got to talk sponsors here. I believe we have someone new on board, Kyle. Is that correct?
We do, man. I love the sponsor that we've just added, Cottonwood Coffee in Maine. Great place to go and study or just to kind of maybe have a first date. You never know. Sip some coffee, maybe have an espresso if it's the morning and you got to get some schoolwork done, whatever the case may be. That's a great location. I love the bistro. I worked at the bistro. I'm sure all of us enjoyed beverages and food at the bistro. I love the breakfast burrito and all that stuff. Lauren, my girlfriend, had their bagel with their veggie spread, which is amazing. I'm not a big bagel guy, but there's something for everyone. And like I said on Twitter, man, life is too short to drink bad coffee. I drink Starbucks ad nauseum and I'm just tired of it. So it's great to get Jacob sent me some stuff and I'm really excited. So Cottonwood Coffee, guys, go out, support them.
And you can order it online, right? So,
and you can order it online. That's the biggest thing. Thank you, Chad. They got e-commerce, K-Cups, man. I will crush their K-Cups of Cottonwood Coffee. So give them a look, cottonwoodcoffee.com.
I cannot wait to get there next time when I'm in town for the Dixie game. I will be there. You know where else I can't wait to go would be Drake's Place. I don't know when we're doing that remote, man. That is so far for me.
We got to do it.
We got to talk to Robert. Yeah.
That is so far for you. No. It is.
It really is. I think it's worth it. Matt mentioned their pizza specials.
It's literally closest to Brendan right now.
Oh,
right now, for 2.5 weeks.
Well, you've got 2.5 weeks to go eat all the pizza for all of us. And
when you're leaving the dark side.
Various specials.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's where I'll have my my cleansing ceremony. Is I'll go to Drake's place and we'll figure out a way to, you know, burn some sage and
burn,
stuff like
burn the
that.
Sage, oh, yeah. Cross there the border, get out of that gross state that you're in right now.
Yep.
I was like, the items on his menu sound way better than a juice cleanse, man. Come on now.
For sure. Yeah. Right. That's a true story.
Perfect. So we got them. We got shenanigans. So if I'm coming up from the south, I could. It's actually not that much longer for me to go all the way down to I-90 across and up because the average speed on I-29 is what, like 105 miles an hour probably.
Is there a speed limit on there? That.
No, there is.
Brendan would know.
Yeah. I've had my talks with Officer of the Law.
So, all right, I'm going to avoid that, but I'm going to head down to Sioux Falls. I'm going to hit Shenanigans. I've heard tons of great stuff about their new place. And then, of course, Jackrabbit Central. And I bought a pair of socks from them last weekend when I was on campus. And I was going to bring them in, and I didn't. But definitely, Jackrabbit Central, hit them up.
Guys, and any ladies that stumble across this, I just got Lauren a fancy little crop. SDSU brand new arrivals package, so check that out. And then obviously, Brennan, did you get that hat from there? Kind of looks like it.
Oh yeah, I got this 2 years ago now. Yep, that's
it. How about you, Chad? Is that a
absolutely
staple? How about you, Dallas?
Sorry, I was totally distracted by the
comment. Oh my god, Brad.
So it's according to Brad, we got to annoy Brendan's head with motor oil to cleanse him as he leaves the state of North Dakota. For anybody that doesn't know that's listening, we've hinted at it a bunch, but Brendan is finally moving out of Fargo, heading down to where again?
Renner.
Renner, that's right.
Nice. So,
I got you a nice housewarming gift too. A little welcome, Matt.
I heard about that. I'm excited about it.
Just got to figure out how to get Kyle's to him since he's in Texas.
Amazon. They get everything in 2 days. I don't know about the U.S. Postal Service, but you know.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that's only available locally. So,
I'll come up.
I'm gonna hit Shenanigans on the way up. Brendan on the way down is going to hit up Drake's. He's going to hit up Jackrabbit Central, and then we're all gonna meet at where, Kyle?
Cottonwood Coffee, baby.
Cottonwood Coffee, absolutely.
Yeah, baby.
All right, so I want to talk SDSU here quick, but everybody quick give me 4 teams if they had to jump, if we had to pick 4 FCS teams to jump FBS, who are they? Chad, you're up first.
NDSU, SDSU, Montana, Montana State, easy.
Ooh, I like that.
To move up with us in conjunction with?
I'm just saying just pick four. Just pick four.
JMU's obviously in there too, so I get a fifth.
You get a fifth? All right. That's aggressive. Brendan, who you got?
Breaking the rules. First guy's breaking the rules. I will go. So we're just picking FCS schools to be FBS.
Yep. Like you don't have to put any thought to it.
Like Fantasyland. All right. I'm going to go NDSU, JMU. Montana, Montana State. I know Montana, Montana State will be farther down the road than NDSU and JMU.
Why?
They got a good thing going.
I'm curious.
They've been offered to go FBS, if I remember correctly, like a little while back, like a while ago, I think. There's been talks about it, and I think it was the Sun Belt or something, and they were just a way outlier and weren't too stoked about it, or somebody tried to take Montana without Montana State. I'm really foggy on it. I could be completely wrong, and now we're getting posted on FCS Fans Nation. I don't think I'll get roasted by somebody. I will hear about how wrong I am.
Listen, we're not doing our job unless we get roasted.
It's improvement week. We're trying to get better. That's the
point. Trying to get better, but I do believe they're back once upon a yesteryear. There was talk of Montana getting an invite. JMU's gotten an invite before too, and they turned it down. But yeah, they have gotten an invite, so I think they'll be later. Or I could cheat and say the WAC, because that's their stated goal.
Their stated goal is to move everybody up to the FBS.
Yes, it is.
The whole conference. And that is actually something when we get into SDSU and FBS and things like that with SDSU specific that I think would be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, what do you got?
I'm going to go with UC Davis because I think it was in the cards for Dan Hawkins. I think he would love nothing more than to put his stamp on his alma mater, bringing them to the FBS level. Shout out to Coach Jackson, Isaiah. He's out there too, so that would be really cool, I think, to see that happen. Yeah, he's a linebackers coach out there. So UC Davis, I'm going to go JMU because I think they got 1 foot out the door. And then I'm gonna shelf the NDSU SDSU thing. I'm gonna go with a little teaser here. I think Jacksonville State could be the problem with them is they're in the Alabama Board of Regents, and we saw what happened with UAB and that whole thing, how they tried to nix the program altogether. But Jacksonville State has shown they can compete at the FBS level. Most recently, beating Florida State. And then I think, did they beat Florida State also in the previous fall season?
They beat an FBS school. Because Florida State had never lost before, I don't think.
Right. Well, they beat an FBS school in the previous fall season. I can't remember
who it was. I remember talking about
that. FIU or was it?
It might have been one of those struggling, Florida schools or something like that. But so JSU would be intriguing. So I got JSU, UC Davis, JMU.
It was a lot of location.
Exactly. Thank you, Brennan. Lamar. I know they're a part of the WAC contingent, but they're based out of Houston. I know, Chad.
They're a brand new Division I FCS school as of like 10 years ago.
So was Coastal, man. But
Jacksonville beat FIU. You were right on that.
FIU. Cool. Yeah. So someone's saying, too, not in the Board of Regents for Alabama. They're just a state school. Okay. Thank you, Brandon. I did not know that. So I just trying to be a little contrarian here and throw Jacksonville State in there because they do seem to just shoot themselves in the foot. And they have played for a national title, but they seem to kind of fizzle out for whatever reason, but they seem to have the talent. They have the support. Oh my God. I hope they do not go forward with their plans, Brendan, about their stadium.
Oh, so bad.
It's so bad.
I'm sorry. We obviously have some cocky nation watching.
And I'm not trying to disparage them. I love my best friend is for Jacksonville.
I will actually want to go see it. I want to see it after the renderings. The way they rendered it, it just has like this. I don't want to say prison yard.
Jailhouse prison field. Yard.
It is Shawshank Stadium. It's brutal.
It is. It's what it kind of looks like. And I think the concept's phenomenal. Like having dorms attached to your stadium is so badass. Could you imagine?
Cool, yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine what that's going to do? What that's going to do for their student body involvement? Like you're in the stadium as a part of your dorm.
It's got a Wrigleyville
down the hall. Right. I mean, that'll be so cool. I just got I think it's like the tan color.
Yeah.
The way that it looks, the dorms in the rendering look like a government building, like some sort of government project that was put up, Chad. Like it just has that feel. But man, if they execute it a little differently than those. Oh, Brandon's upset. I'm sorry. He's a Southeastern Louisiana guy.
That's CLU now.
I appreciate that. I'm loving the FCS affiliation here. Now that we're getting opinions outside of the Dakotas and Minnesota here.
Yeah, that's great.
We need that input, dude. Brandon, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Someone's got to set us straight, Brandon. Exactly. So I appreciate it.
So Dallas, did we kind of answer that question?
For sure. I was just like I said, I wanted to move on from the grounded takes and actually just go, let's pretend. I don't have anybody to add. I was going to make a smart ass comment and say maybe New Mexico State, UConn, UMass, maybe the Cornhuskers. Could all take a shot.
Yes.
Can't wait to lay a whooping on
this. This is my favorite comment that won't come to fruition as the rules sit right now. the because I think it's, as far as I know, you can't move as a whole conference. The reason the WAC is able to, and I'll read her comment first. Indiana State, yeah. Western Illinois, Missouri State leave the Missouri Valley Football Conference. I won't be surprised if Western Illinois is financially not able to compete in the Missouri Valley soon anyways. Montana State, Montana, Eastern Washington join. The entire MVFC goes FBS. First off, Eastern Illinois, Eastern Washington doesn't have the money for that. But I love the concept of the Montana, Montana State. The rest of the MVFC goes FBS. That would be awesome. The reason the WAC is able to is supposedly they still have – they're technically considered or able to be do that because they were an FBF conference before. There would be need to be some special legislation. Obviously, wild stuff happens in the Midwest when it comes to jumping divisions with St. Thomas, but never say never.
You want to elaborate on that real quick, Brennan?
Yeah, because St. Thomas – obviously went, you know, they were a Division III school and they're a big school and they've got a ton of money and they're Minneapolis. Jacks fans know this. They private. Went in their big private school and they're piss pounding this D3 division. And so,
and actually got kicked out of a conference.
Booted.
Right.
Because they were too good. Good.
Yeah.
For just dominating everything. They dominated everything. They put in a waiver. The Summit League offered them an invite that, you know, obviously SDSU's in, and they got approved to move straight to FCS, which is ludicrous. So that was wild. But, you know, so that as far as I know, to the best of my knowledge, the reason the WAC's able to is because they used to be FES, and I think they technically have New Mexico State, who's an FBS team affiliated with them, with the WAC itself, but they're an independent FBS team right now, so they would, that would be helpful. Them moving.
I went cross-eyed with the last 30 seconds of that explanation.
Yeah, my brain crossed up, so I probably wandered like I do.
I'm sure you were right, but that sounded so convoluted that
I didn't. I'm not
somebody on YouTube that knows.
Wait, what was the question again?
Where did I start? What happened?
Blacked out.
I feel like Ron Burgundy went.
Brendan gets blackout and just keeps talking.
Brad points out St. Thomas jumped ahead of Augie to get the Summit bid.
Thankfully, we don't need another FCS Division I school. And I, unfortunately, you know, Augie's the odd man out on that because
they still want to go D1, though. They are pushing for that hard. It's going to happen. God, and I don't know where they're going to play.
Can I back up real quick? I love Lonnie's comment with respect to – see, this is kind of what I see happening if there's a third split. So if there's a third split, if you look at the percentage – I can't remember the numbers that I did, but I think I want to say the top 16 teams or so, or maybe the top 25 of the FCS is almost 20% of all the teams in the FCS. So if you follow the 80-20 rule, the 20% – of the top 25 are the best teams in the FCS. That can probably whittle down even more. And you just pick the best teams from the best conferences, right? Because potentially they would be able to get fully funded. Let's just assume that, grant me that. I think that they all move up to group of five, hopefully, and in some capacity, the Montanas, Montana States, the Jacksonville States, the Lamars, the just the funded well schools, the JMUs, these other schools. Maybe they get the group of five level, and that's the middle tier of Division One. FCS is the bottom tier, and that's everybody remaining. They still want to play at that level. They're funded at that level. They have hoops at that level, volleyball, other sports. Now, if you look at what's the new group of five, we're in the new group of five, but we play a playoff.
Yep.
Power Five plays a playoff. Right, we get back to the reason that the NCAA did this magical thing with March Madness, and everybody loves it. Yep. Right, so that's my take. I would love to see that happen. I think that's sense. Maybe that's too logical.
No, it's totally logical. I was going to point out too on this. I just had a total flashback, going back 20 years again or whatever. The conversation, nothing official, but everybody talked about, well, why doesn't the old NCC, minus the bottom three or four members, why don't they all go together? And which, again, would have made total sense because you got South Dakota State, North Dakota State, North Dakota, Mankato. South Dakota. Yeah, Mankato still. I live in Mankato. Mankato should go.
They should be FCS.
They should. They absolutely should. It would be great. Let's put them in the Missouri Valley, dude. All the schools. Hell yes.
Let's get them. 12.
Yeah, before, honestly, St. Cloud would have been a great choice before they had to fold their football program. Yeah, because they've got, again, they're funded by hockey, big town. That would have been great for everyone. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think Lonnie might be onto something here.
Well, with respect to the Minnesota schools, isn't that some similar to the lines of why Wisconsin only has Division III schools? Because the U won't let them go to FCS.
And it's the same reason that Omaha collapsed. They just won a national title in wrestling, and then they just, like, folded those programs. And it's like, what are you doing? Well, the Nebraska Board of Regents doesn't want that cutting into recruiting is my thing. I don't know.
Yeah, and yeah, Chad's my hero. That's for the hat. I have one of those too. I'm just not as cool as Chad as to have it on me when Mankato happens to come up in the comments. That is the interesting thing, because the Midwest could have two really good FCS conferences, like with the Missouri Valley, and if you took like UW-Whitewater, I mean, look up the stadiums of some of the Division III schools in Wisconsin, and you tell me that's not better than 60%
Indiana State
programs. Yeah, like they've got some killer facilities there. If you took just the Minnesota and Wisconsin teams that should be FCS, and then took a couple of the teams from the Missouri Valley so we could play everybody again, and it's all USD and UND's fault that we have a stupid schedule, and it's stupid and unbalanced because they're stupid faces down in Vermilion and up in El Forco Grande.
Agreed.
Okay. I'm going to get off that.
I know, and I didn't want to stay on this a whole lot longer, but fellow JCC grad Aaron jumps in here. Do we really want the Minnesota schools jumping up? It would mess with recruiting.
That is a good point.
Yeah, it would.
To be fair, though, Aaron, like, really, I mean, North Dakota State dabbles in the city schools better than we do, so that's why I was for St. Thomas coming in, because they're going to cut into that. They really will. And then for us, I mean, if you look at where we recruit in Illinois. So does everybody and their mother. We really, with Coach Jackson, we put a clamps on Nebraska and are getting some of the greater Omaha area kids. Now we're dabbling into Missouri with Isaiah and some of the other folks that we've got there. I believe he's from Missouri. I think he's from Joplin. I want to be sure I'm getting that correct. But we're tapping into those schools, and big questions that a lot of the fans from Colorado were asking, we're winning our state. It's a blue state. People can talk all they want about, you know, the other team down south. They're not winning the state in recruiting, and they won't. It's just a matter of fact. So it's a really good point, though, because Mankato comes up, who knows? But I just think to be fair to what Dallas brought up, I think that it would be better for competition overall at the FCS level, because let's call it, there's a Power 5 at the FCS level too, or a Power 3 with MVFC, CAA, and the Big Sky. So, I mean, and with the exception, there are some good schools in other conferences, but there's like one or two. They're not the whole conference.
Correct. Real quick on the Missouri thing, you were right with Joplin on Isaiah.
I always get Kansas and Missouri confused, man. Like, I don't know which side they're on.
We got Avian Thomas, Boonville. We got Kinzer Madison, who I'm not familiar with, linebacker, Higginsville, Missouri.
Mark Johnson. And then
Brandon Lane, Kansas City.
Yep.
That is an interesting thing, too, when it comes to budgets, and we were talking about expanded budgets and things like that. When you expand your football team's budget, that includes expanding how many out-of-state kids you can afford to take. Because if you take an out-of-state kid, just so people are aware, when your athletic department gives him a scholarship, the school is not giving them a scholarship. The athletic department pays the school for that scholarship, for all this stuff, their books, their meals, their room and board, and their schooling. So certain teams, I've heard you and I fans talk about it with Mark Farley, he's only allowed to take so many people out of state, and it really hamstrings some of their recruiting. And if they don't have reciprocity, that really kills them as well.
I heard Canadian football, specifically California. Oh, sorry. You don't see California kids getting brought in, that there's like extra, I don't know, extra expense.
Yep, and that's
I mean, that would make sense.
That's the Canadian Football League rule, which I think makes a lot of sense. You know, they're only allowed to take so many American players because, I mean, let's be real, who's going to turn out just to watch a bunch of America? I mean, obviously we would because we have the NFL. But, I mean, you know, you see what happens as far as that goes. But, Brendan, do you know if it's one-to-one? So, like, if a kid from California gets recruited, are we paying out-of-state tuition for that spot or is it just cost of tuition?
It's you're paying the out-of-state tuition for – so you get a kid from California, like you said. He's getting paid for by the athletic department as a kid from California.
Yeah, so it's based on zip.
Right, it's based on zip code as if he were any other student. And then – so that adds up. I mean, if you had a ton of kids who were out-of-state – your budget for scholarships is going to take up a lot more of your budget than it will if you have local kids. I mean, you can see our funding's growing with the amount of kids that we're able to go to states that we don't have reciprocity and things like that for.
So we've been on this for a little bit, been trying to move on to just chat SDSU, and we're at about 56 minutes here. So let's jump in. I want to know. Let's just pretend it works out there. Tomorrow we wake up to a press conference and let's assume us and the Furry Cows, we're going to join whatever the Mountain West, whatever it is. What does it take to actually succeed in a conference like that?
Money.
That's a short answer. The short answer is money. And I think to just add a layer to that, we need a boost in enrollment. I think it just makes a lot of sense to go with the Furry Cows because it's an expanded media market. You know, you got Sioux Falls, you got potential Rapid City a little bit, you got, you know, Fargo, Moorhead area, and then you got Brookings all kind of pooled in together. And then merch sales need to go up, ticket sales need to go up, attendance needs to go up. I mean, a rising tide needs to lift everything, right? It needs to lift all ships, literally. For it to remain going. So,
yeah, I think really for it to all, and, you know, I'd say the Mountain West is about the one that I'd be like, hell yeah, let's do it right now. Let's go. That's fine. That would be the one. To me, it all boils down to fan buying in. Every game, minimum 18,000 people. Because when you have that many people, you have 18,000 minimum sold out almost every week. You don't just have those people there. You have that people getting invested. You have that those people donating. You have those people with businesses going and sponsoring and paying. And that, you know, the money is all derived from alums and fans who are invested. And part of that's why I'm super excited about how our student section's been showing up.
Yeah,
I mean, that shows the culture's growing and all these kids now that we recruit from South Dakota that are going, well, you want to be a Jackrabbit when from South Dakota. That's a culture thing that we were at a disadvantage 15, 20 years ago compared to the Hairy Cows.
Yeah. And another thing on to that point, that's just another added little tidbit there. NFL productive big time players like Dallas Goedert consistently entering the fold on 53 man rosters, just consistently peppering the NFL level. And then also, you know, getting to the second contract, Dallas Goedert's due some big money in the second contract. And that second contract, you know, that's his money. It has nothing to do with South Dakota State, but you hope that they remember who gave him a springboard to that opportunity. And I think he will. Guys like Vinatieri and, you know, Zenners and stuff like that.
I was on the same page with the fan interest thing. And that's where I'm worried about it, is it just isn't quite there. And they've got, you know, Brendan, I think you mentioned just the media network that the Furry Cows have set up. And, man, we're still so far from that.
Right.
You know, not to toot our own. Sorry, go ahead, Chad.
I just think to piggyback off what you're saying there is we really need Sioux Falls' buy-in, right? We need Sioux Falls. We need a mass migration north every Saturday. That's what we need if that's going to work.
So I'm a logistics guy, and I was actually at one point trying to imagine what it would take to actually, how many buses you would have to have and what it would cost just to just shuttle people back and forth all day on Saturday.
Right.
Lonnie's point right here is genius. I mean, I don't know if the infrastructure, the dollars are there. It seems like it would make a ton of sense. I mean, we have the DART here in Texas, the Dallas speed rail that a lot of, you know, adults who have vehicles, they take because they want to indulge in some beverages. So I think this is a great idea. Now, if it happens or not would be another story. But so light speed train, for those who are just who can't see, light speed train from Sioux Falls to Brookings that serves beer. I love that.
I'm in.
I mean, say less.
Right? That'd be awesome.
That would be great.
You got to serve beer. My brain's working slow.
And that's right. Oh. I saw the beer part in light speed and I got goosebumps.
Although they do have to have like a luggage area to put all our tailgating gear in. So.
true.
Yeah.
No, tailgaters will make the commitment.
I'm just on board with it. I don't know. The fan commitment needs to jump. The attendance needs to jump. People need to, I don't, do people care more if we're playing, I guess probably Wyoming, but if we played, I don't know, I'm trying to pick just a very random San Jose State. In December, is anybody showing up? I doubt it.
On a Thursday.
Yeah. On a Thursday to be on TV. No, I'm watching.
But are they showing up for opening hunting weekend too? You know, I like the points you're making, just to be devil's advocate. I mean, you got the Colorado connection. I know they're going to go every year for that because there's so much to do there, you know, like just from being able to be outdoors and see a different terrain than you see in the prairies where it's pretty flat. Other than, you know, you go to the Badlands and you go to the Black Hills, you're going to see similar stuff. But I mean, you got your Rapid City contingent who went to South Dakota State, who lives out there, and they were saying it's only what, 5-6 hours. You know, that's not a tough drive. I sat near guys who were alums from the 70s. And they, you know, they love South Dakota State and they made a bro trip of it. He and his buddy. Mm-hmm. So we got Colorado State locked down. Wyoming is only an hour from Colorado State and Fort Collins, an hour and a half or so. We were talking to the Texas Red, maybe we'll catch a Rockies game or something like that. And, Rockies game or go to the Wyoming game. But yeah, so I think there's definite, I mean, Colorado Springs is only what, 40 minutes from there. You're playing Air Force. I mean, that would be legit. You're playing an academy school. Let's say we were playing an academy school on September 11th. You don't think there's going to be a turnout for that? Come on.
Oh yeah.
We got it. The thing is, and Brennan, you would know this since you were rattling off stats. I was always under the impression you had to be at a certain threshold of attendance consistently before you could even examine going to that BS level.
I thought so too, but look at isn't Central Michigan, don't they get like 4,000 people a game? I don't mean to talk smack, but I something like that.
Well,
Coastal didn't have it because their stadium didn't have that capacity, right, Brent?
No, yeah, and that used to be a rule, or at least that was the impression everyone had. That was the rule. I mean, they're like your Eastern Michigans, for example, would boost their average attendance by giving away 30,000 tickets to like two games just to keep their attendance up, you know? And I think that's the fear, you know, that's the fear I have along with Dallas. Our fan base needs to be there. We have the number one team or number two team in the country returning from a national title run, right?
Consensus.
We have a NFL caliber running back. We have multiple NFL draft possibilities on our offensive line. The defense is stellar. We just smoked an FBS team.
We have a future NFL tight end for sure.
If we can't average 15,000 fans a game this season, then FBS, like, that's not going to make that better, in my opinion. Like, we need to build the fan base to where we are consistently getting 18,000 into that stadium, because I promise you, we moved to FBS and we're selling that thing out still. I guarantee you they've got plans. That stadium was built to be expandable and expanded to 30, 35,000, and it'll be sick. But you got to get to the games first. You know,
all right.
So
I think we're at about an hour here. I think that's a good transition. I just want to hear yes or no with brief explanation. Brendan, you can start. Should SDSU consider jumping FBS?
Right now?
Yeah.
No. 10 years. 5 years. Five years?
Yeah. All right. All right. If no, then when? Chad.
I'd be open to considering it, but I wouldn't take it seriously. And at least 10 years.
What you got, Kyle?
I say, should they consider it? Absolutely. Should we do it now? Absolutely not. I think that the reasons being we've already highlighted, but I think from a time frame perspective, I want it to happen. I think it very well could happen, and I think it's likely 8 to 10 years. I think.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. As a fanboy, man, that'd be cool. And I'd love to see it. And every time I tell myself it wouldn't work, again, I remember back 20 years and that didn't seem to make sense from a competitive standpoint either.
Yep.
So yeah. It did. It could work out. I'm going to do the same thing. Right now, I don't think it makes sense. I would still get excited if it happened. 5 years, if we do the right things, win a couple of natties, fill that stadium up, it could make sense for sure.
Got a real quick question for all you guys. I want to flip it. If there's a third split and that reality happens that we're talking about, do we go FCS? Do we remain FCS and stay in that tier? Do we go group of five? Obviously, we're not going FBS. Power five. What do we do? Chad, what's your thought?
If we're including a championship for the group of five, I'd love to see that. You know,
like a playoff championship?
Like a playoff championship, yeah. Want to have something to play for, not the Kohler toilet bowl, you know?
Correct. What about you, Brennan?
That split group of five and playoffs is the dream scenario. So
love that. Group of five. How about you, Dallas?
I'm on board, too. I think that can make sense. I think those are the teams we'd be competitive with. I think people get excited to play. Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm in. Anything else we want to cover here before we close up?
No national letter, name, image, and likeness.
I got that topic makes me tired. We can do that on another one.
Yeah. We were going to do it, but sorry for everyone. That was in the title.
Guys, this was fun, man. Like, this is always a hot button issue. And like, Brendan, you came correct. So, I mean, if we ever want to do this again, it'll be fun.
Did my homework today.
I got to up my game. I was too busy today. All right, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's nothing else we want to cover here, again, shout out new sponsor, Cottonwood Coffee in Brookings. Title sponsor, thank you, Drake's Place, Jackrabbit Central, Shenanigans of Sioux Falls. We will see you guys soon. Have a good improvement wink. Go big, go blue.
Go Jacks.